Hi.
Hello, you already sound defeated.
I just I just watched so much and I was just like I can't care about what is happening. Who is this character? He's been here forever, but did anyone actually say his name? Is his name Mitch? No, that's the other guy. Oh, I know Ben Affleck is O'Banion, but I thought it was O'Bannon at first. I don't know.
That's a banyan.
Yeah, common misconception, I'm sure. But
Yeah.
oh my God, it was so dull.
Well, I mean, you're wrong, but it's okay.
No. I understand that I'm absolutely incorrect about this. That Dazed and Confused is a highly acclaimed movie that loads of people love to watch, and it is great and fantastic and what have you. But good Lord, my attention could not be any further away from this film.
Yeah, it's not a good movie to watch if you have like other things to do in your life or like on your mind or a tight schedule or things like that. But since I figure we'll probably not have too much to say about the movie itself, you want to do a little bit of follow-up or just sort of chat? Like, how's your week? It's been a big week. It's been an interesting week. Baseball
Yeah.
notwithstanding.
Yeah, there was the Apple event last week
Yeah.
that happened, was the
People
thing.
had a lot of opinions about that.
People did. Some people wrote those opinions and some people said those opinions and some of those opinions were circulated to a surprising degree. And then
Not the least of which being yours, that was you wrote not so much about the laptops and the what have you, but about the Apple TV. Well, I don't know, you could say update. It wasn't really an update, it was an app, and then you wrote a thing comparing the various streaming device boxes that are available and why the Apple TV is kind of pooping the bed, as it were, and that made it the rounds to the Mac stories and somehow on Fortune.com, which was interesting.
I mean, they called me Joe Steele as if Steele was my last name, which is
Right, yeah, that's interesting.
incorrect. Also, they said blogger, and I was just like,
Yeah. Did you at least bother to click the Twitter profile link somewhere or like,
Yeah, I mean, technically
Google a person?
it was a blog in a technical sense, but I'm not sure why I'm a source for anything.
Yeah, I don't think you really self-identify as a blogger, though, is
No,
the thing.
there was some weird, I think it was like Fierce Cable or something. Anyway, I was following some of the referrals because I was just like, how did this happen? How did so many
A lot
people?
of content farms pick up and repost the Fortune and the Mac stories thing.
Yeah, because one site's like originally reported by joesteele.com. I was just like,
Oh, you're a reporter
I
now.
didn't report anything. Is that how that works?
California man has opinions, which is, it's
Yeah.
reporting.
Oh dear. I was sort of surprised by that. Also, it was on Hacker News and Tech Mem at the same
Oh, that's
time,
right. That's
and
right.
the simultaneity of that crashed my web server. It could not serve my plain text pages fast enough. I like all of the best bloggers, I have a static blogging engine that I wrote myself that doesn't do anything, but
If
the web server
only this show
component,
were sponsored by Squarespace, you could put your blog on a Squarespace site and it would have been fine. It would have been really slow, but it would have been fine.
One of the things that I always find interesting about Squarespace is no matter what page you go to and how little is on that page, it takes a little while for that stuff to show up.
Oh, it takes so long. It takes what, like 5 seconds just for the CSS to load for my header texts, which is fantastic on my blog.
Something tells me that has a lot to do with all of the JavaScript shenanigans that they have going on underneath the hood so that you can do those dynamic adjustments on the fly, as it were.
Have you ever looked at like done view source on a Squarespace page? It's insane.
It is a labyrinth of weird stuff that I would not want to maintain. But regardless of all that stuff, so
You got
I
your server back up. You got your CPMs back where they're supposed to be. All of your
yes, all my ad
sponsors and your
revenue.
ads are happy now, right?
Oh God, if only. I just to be perfectly clear, I do not actually run a reporting website. I do not I'm not a tech journalist, and I do not generate any revenue off of my opinions, nor am I endorsed by anyone for my product. So it was a peculiar anomaly. I sometimes things that I write get circulated, but not to that degree. And also, sometimes I put a lot of effort into some stuff and it doesn't get circulated at all. So you know what? You have no idea when that's going to happen.
You know, just mark me down as predicting you're going to get fireballed in like two more days.
See, you keep saying that, and I think you jinxed it, because it's been too long now. It's not going to happen. No one in their right mind would drag up my old quote unquote post about Apple TV at this point. But
you underestimate Gruber. He had a big backlog of Touch Bar shenanigans and 16 gig RAM things to get through, and then once he gets through that, he'll come back to the TV app. Is that what we're calling it? TV the app?
TV the app.
I don't know how you do emphasis on audio.
Your inflection of your voice.
TV the app.
Let's workshop on that one just a little bit. Like TV the app.
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 TV dot app. Well, no, it'd be TV. TV the TV dot. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's ridiculous. Watch TV on your TV on your TV.
Wait. How about the app formerly known as Watch List? You don't want to go prints with it?
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. So anyway, I have talked extensively about that and written things and blah. I'm not really enthusiastic about where they are. And
well, you got that other show. I don't know if how often you plan on recording that thing, but I figured I'd give you the opportunity to do any follow up here if you had any.
I had just recorded one with Micah Sargent.
Did you cover everything in there that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah,
the written post.
My plan was, I would talk to him real fast because he was on Central Time, and then I would go back to watching the movie, and then I was just, it took a little longer, and then when I got back to watching the movie, I was just like, oh God, this is draining my life force. And then we got on the line together, and it was great. But yes, we talked about that, so I'll probably pop a link in here. Pop a link, as the kids say. But we mostly talked about the MacBook Pro in that one, because as you might imagine, all the things that we've been saying to one another in private all week about the stuff and how you're not happy and I'm not happy. Nobody's happy. Is anybody like thrilled?
I mean, people from Chicago are a little thrilled right now, but with regard to laptops, particular.
Did they win the thing?
Chicago won the thing, yeah.
Okay, good.
First time in 108 years.
Fantastic. Good for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good for the Bears. So...
The small bears.
Well, let's just try to be inclusive, Dan. You know? So it's not how big your bear is.
I feel like you're trying to trick me into taking this somewhere.
No, I would never trick you. I got a wee bit of a snit, as they say, about that, and that apparently was the thing that went to places, and it was somewhat embarrassing because someone had programmed in a Slackbot response about how I was in Fortune magazine into the thing. I don't even think it's gonna be the magazine, but it was other blog or whatever. So that was a terrific Slackbot response to really put me in my place. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's not to put you in your place, it's just to remind everyone of the status and stature of the people who are in our illustrious Slack.
There's no status to it, but
when new people come in, they need to be made aware that we have a professional technology blogger who is in fortunethemagazine.com.app's website or whatever.
What they need is a TV app that participates inside of the opt-in TV the app system, so you can subscribe to it with your single sign-ons on DirecTV or Dish. Let's move on away from sad things. Since we might as well just segue into this, you also were not happy because your flaky first gen Retina MacBook was something that was on the replacement list because...
Oh, yeah, sure. It's still on the replacement list. They just haven't yet released a thing that would replace.
Yeah. Are you still thinking you're going to go iMac?
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, because I want a Retina, I want a 27-inch Retina display, and then I'm going to just use my Apple Cinema display as the second display, and then just have two monitors instead of three. But as much as I like this whole, like, my CPU is a laptop and I can take it with me to go do stuff, like, I don't do that very often. And, you know, like, doing hardcore film work on a laptop without external monitors is not, like, pleasant. So, you know, the times when that actually happens are, I don't know, probably like once, where I had like a 4-hour layover at an airport. I'm like, well, I guess I might as well pop open this Nuke Comp and struggle my way through not having a large monitor and actually working on it. But it's like, I don't need it. I want a desktop computer. And, you know, the guts of an iMac are basically the top end guts of a MacBook, maybe slightly better. So, well, I mean, now.
Well, now a lot
RAM
better.
Too. Yeah. So, I mean, I just, you know, the GPU and the RAM limitations and the laptops are just not ideal. And even though that the current touch bar, whatchahoozits, have a 4 gig, what you call it, graphics card in there versus my 1 gig in my laptop now, it's still, what, like they've been saying, it's like the bottom of the barrel sort of AMD GPU. So it's like
Performance boost that you would see is meager. You would get a boost. It's not worse, but
I guess the test is like, and I already asked if they would like let me install Resolve on a computer at the Apple Store to test something, and the answer has been resoundingly no. But I just need to load up a couple of native Alexa 4K QuickTime files in Resolve on one of the laptops to see if it immediately freaks out like my laptop does, or if it'll actually survive. And that would be a legitimate test. But like, again, I max out the machine that I buy, because I buy it like once every 3 or 4 years. So like in 3 or 4 years, I'm going to be, you know, hurting again. So I don't want to deal with something that's particularly something that is stuck on 16 gigs of RAM, because I peg the RAM on this thing daily.
You what?
Peg the RAM. Don't stop doing that. No, that's no. We're talking about meters.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Punchy Joe is interesting, Joe.
This is a long day.
Long day, yeah.
Yeah.
Lot of long days.
Mm-hmm.
All the great long days.
All along this. So your needs are going to be more likely met by the next iMac refresh, and then you'll get one of those and you'll be happy.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
happy.
The new laptops are cool. I just like can't, I, there's no point in me buying it, which,
yeah,
it, I mean, I've figured out how to work within my limitations painfully on this laptop. So I would like to find something that relieves those limitations, not that just like slightly alters the limitations.
Yeah. It just doesn't align with some people's things. But, you know, just like a square peg in a round hole, you can whittle it down over time. So we'll eventually get there.
Was that an Apollo 13 joke?
Not intentionally. Was that from Apollo 13?
Yeah, where they had the square carbon monoxide filters that they had to put in the round holes.
Oh, no, I just meant the square peg in a round hole, like the actual idiom.
Literal wooden pegs.
Yes, because this show is all about pegs.
No, it's not. Unless you're talking about like peg legs, like on a pirate or something.
Chips. What do you think about ARM chip shipping in the next? No, you don't think so.
As the primary CPU,
I was just.
You're just trying to do it. Trying to pivot.
Pirate segue. Pirate pivot. So
it's easy to pivot when you're a pirate. The peg leg is just like cylindrical, so you just sort of put your weight on it and spin.
Mm, yeah.
Nope. But... Nope.
Okay. anything else going on in your week? You've had a week.
Mm, yeah. This week should be set on fire. It was a fascinating exploration into the world of expectations and deadlines. So, yeah, it's almost not even worth specifics. But this
pretty sure you legally should not give any specifics.
Oh, I didn't sign anything. I didn't know what you're talking about.
I was just trying to think about what's best for Dan. But
what's best for Dan? What's best for Dan is, you know, every time I run into a big air quotes experience like this, it really helps me revisit my iOS notifications, which I turned a whole bunch of them off in the past couple of days because I didn't want to blow a blood vessel in my brain and die. So, yeah.
Mm.
Works fun sometimes. Basically, I'm, you know, more or less unemployed again and looking for projects.
They call it fun employment.
Fun employment. Yeah, it's cool to be broke, right, kids?
That's how you afford those new Macs.
Oh yeah, totally. You save up for them.
You save up with fun employment.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
fun. They're full of fun.
No, in my instance, I just use credit cards for everything. Hooray!
Remember when you had coin?
I do. I still have it. It's in the drawer over there. It's just
is the battery dead on it yet?
No, the battery is totally fine. It's just like I added a chip card to it. And I swiped it in a place that takes chip cards, and it went, this is a chip card, insert it. I'm like, nope, sorry.
Yep. I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No more Firehouse subs for you. But,
That was an Apple Watch thing.
I don't know where to go from here.
I have one more bit of follow-up it's almost, I don't know if it's worth mentioning, but, remember, was it last episode, or does it just feel like it was a really long time ago? We talked about how everyone was up in arms about The Walking Dead.
Sure.
Yeah.
I recall the conversation, but...
press management again, and everyone... Yeah. No, it's not that bad. I caught a portion of the premiere episode, which I won't spoil it for anyone, because people were spoiling it left and right like morons. But that was some vile, brutal, horrible nonsense. And this is coming from a person who kind of likes depraved things in film and television. That was some sadistic nonsense, and it was damn near offensive to my senses. And I can't believe they did some of that crap.
Yeah. Funny story about that. When I was at... at Now Hear This fest in Anaheim last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, you should tell us how that all went, by the way.
I will do that now that I remembered that I was there. But you jogged my memory because we did the incomparable stuff on the Loot Crate stage, and in one of the Loot Crate in all of the Loot Crate boxes, they were identical. In the Loot Crate boxes, there was a t-shirt that was a Negan as like a baseball shirt, and he was holding a baseball bat over his shoulder with mm-hmm. some barbed wire on it.
Yeah.
And I'd heard some stories. And so when I saw that shirt, I think it was like David Lore, I had pulled it out of the box. And we were all just like, no, no, back in the box. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's, that's how they ended last season. They left it on this cliffhanger that, you know, he's the new man in charge. And just to sort of show you your place in the food chain, he started hitting somebody in the head with his barbed wire baseball bat, which I think he calls Lucille. I think that's his name for his baseball bat. And then, it ended on the cliffhanger of, oh my God, who's he hitting? And are they dying or what's going to happen or whatever? And then I thought they were just going to revisit that briefly in the opening scene, but I stumbled into the episode that Amanda was watching, like, I don't know, it was like 23 minutes in and he was still in that scene. And it was just like, oh my God, they dragged that out so long, and it was just like, and you know, it's like cheesy and it's Walking Dead zombie gore nonsense stuff, but like the things they did to the audience emotionally are just like, why would you do this to people that like your show? This is horrifying. Like, I don't even like the show, and I was offended by what they did to these characters.
Oh, that's how you know it's working. Movie magic. But yeah,
that's how you know you're driving people away who will never come back. I saw so many people say, like, well, I'm done with this show. See ya, because that was brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see how that goes. Because, you know, sometimes people say they're done with something and then they're not done with it. MacBook Pros. But we'll see what happens.
Just can't quit you like the MacBook Pros or Negan. I mean, you know, I saw a little bit of, I don't know if it was the second or third episode, but it was way more chill, like super chill episode. And I think they really kind of needed like a palate cleanser for everyone. Because that first episode was just like, you know, how many different ways can you emotionally kick people when they're down and then just keep kicking them? And it was just like, that, you know, there comes a point where it's like you make your point to the audience, but then you just like keep driving their face into the mud. And it's like, that's not you don't do that.
OK, well, I think you made your point.
I don't know that I did. I'm going to spend another 23 minutes talking about it.
I'm fine. So in summary, I'm still not watching this show. And I try to listen to the Reconcilable Differences segments about it because I know I won't ever watch it. I know there's a heavy disclaimer that goes on every time because it's like, you know, never know if you might be interested someday. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure at this point that I'm not interested. But the now hear this first to segue back into something way more positive was a blast. And I just went down there on the Saturday. And I was mostly hanging out with the incomparable peeps for that time. And that was Brian Hamilton, Aline Sims, David J. Lore, Jason Snell, Monty Ashley, Steve Lutz, and Erica Ensign, and Steven Schepansky. And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but I'm probably not because I ran out of fingers. So I think that's good.
There was a table. There was a kid's table too, because there were too many people for the, I think you have to say Loot Crate table trademark every time you say it.
Well, it's Loot Crate stage.
The stage, of course.
But they had these ballroom areas basically divided up, and it was a lot of space, really. And we perhaps had maybe too much space for ourselves, but,
were you guys up on the second floor?
No. Oh, no, we weren't inside of the convention center. This was inside of the Marriott.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it was the ballrooms inside of the Marriott. And they had a few different sized stages. Like there was the Casper one, which is like the big stage, and, like one other comparably sized one. And, they had, you know, Mark Maron, your hero there. He was in the green room. He was not too far from me. He came over to get some snacks from the table. Also,
what kind of snacks did he get?
I was trying not to look at him like somebody who's staring at Mark Maron, so I didn't pay attention to what he picked.
I don't think he would be remotely bothered by that.
But it was, you know, the green room. You're not supposed to, like, stare at people and gawk. But funny story, They only had a certain number of badges that were marked talent. And so the rest of us all had just like guest passes. And so everywhere we went, somebody who had a better badge than us had to make sure that we could get in.
Isn't that fun?
Because there were just so many of us that didn't know what to do. But the actual event itself was very nice. And Lex Friedman, who had been on many episodes of The Incomparable and worked with Jason Snell at Macworld and has done lots of podcasts, and I like listening to The Rebound every now and then. I recommend their show, and he does that with Dan Morin. Dan Morin was also there, if I didn't say his name. And we all got to hang out and do stuff, and it was a lot of fun. We had a monster and supervillain draft, which is a very broad category, and not even you could predict the broad sampling of things that were permitted to be drafted in this category. So whenever that episode gets posted, I highly recommend that people check it out.
Are you allowed to say, did you get the thing, or do you need to leave everyone in suspense?
I want to leave everyone in suspense. No spoilers. But I strongly recommend listening to it. I think it was a blast to do that episode, and some people had some very wacky ideas about things. My picks are somewhat conservative in comparison.
No.
And on top of all of that, there, right after we did that recording with the group, there was a recording of Inconceivable, which is one of the game shows that's on the game show podcast that The Incomparable has, and they did that. But they had, because there was an odd number of people, it wasn't required for that. So I went to the lobby and I hung out with TM Trains. And
I was going to say that there was a blurry photo of TM Trains in the audience. So you could kind of tell that he does have a face. Which, you know.
I mean, I know he has a face. I've seen and met him.
A couple people can verify that. I can verify that as well. But you mm-hmm. would never really know from his internet presence.
No, him and Andrew J. Clarke, who happens to work there now, we were at the lobby while they were doing Inconceivable, but then I went back in to do the next game show thing that they were recording, which was a Family Feud-like, but not Family Feud for copyright reasons thing based on incomparable listener surveys. They had done one previously, but this one was live and in person. And that was a lot of fun to do because people write in some garbage. I will just be right up front with you right now. And I was angry at some of the things that people wrote in. But you know, you got to stick with what the survey says. And
who was surveyed out of curiosity?
Incomparable listeners. They tweeted out a thing and everybody filled out a Google Doc survey and Snell got all the answers. And then they did one round before a month. 2 months ago, and they did this one live. That one was a lot more fun to go do. And after that, it was pizza, and then we saw Hello from the Magic Tavern live. They put on costumes, which was fantastic. I know you don't like that show.
I'm given to understand that's a podcast.
Yes, a podcast is like a DVR for radio. It's like TiVo for your radio, but To quote Steve Jobs, paraphrase really loosely.
But, did you see Brian Hamilton posted a screenshot? That was a Jeopardy question.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly why he said that.
Because it's fresh in your memory.
Is right there. Fresh as fresh can be. Fresh mozzarella.
Ground pork in the mail. Oh, we got some ground pork in the mail today that we made.
Oh, no. Are you alive?
No, I'm alive. Yeah, it was good. Okay. We made meatballs.
Oh, good. I had we were still subscribed to the mail service that you described before that shall not be named in the previous episode, the one that made you sick. we had a pork meatball thing from them one time. It was like some sort of like Asian inspired pork meatball whatever thing with noodles. It was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was this one was good as well. It had like some farro and some spinach thing going on underneath there, and it was like a cranberry vinegar sauce thing for there were supposed to be beets in it too, but we threw the beets away because beets are horrible.
Oh.
The headphones and the vegetable.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to make that joke, so. That was,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had to get to it before you did, or before Kyle did, because.
I wouldn't have made that joke because I would have just brought a beet juice. Remember that time I drank beet juice on the podcast?
Wasn't that like episode 2?
Probably. It tastes like dirt. It was awful. I don't recommend beet juice.
You don't bring random artisanal juices to the show anymore.
No. Well, we record at night now, so I can have an adult beverage. And right now I'm having a Chocofesa.
What?
Chocofesa by Stone Brewing in...
Is it a chocolate beer?
It is a mocha stout with spices.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it actually doesn't sound horrible.
It's not horrible. It's quite good. So it's festive, and I'm having it, because I was just at a fest.
Get you in the Christmas season?
Mm-hmm. Simply having Chocofesa time.
People are going to send us death threats. It's November 2nd. Although we're not as bad as Mr. Alexander.
Oh, he's got I wonder if he put up that tree, that Christmas tree that he was talking about.
He's probably
doing
it right now. He's probably putting up tinsel as we speak.
Oh, I hate tinsel. Tacky. Of course you know. It's tacky. See,
what do you put on your Christmas tree?
I just like the standard yellowish white lights, you know, the golden lights.
You don't even do colored lights.
No, those are garish. And then you get those little pinpoints of beautiful, pristine white light blasting out of the tree, and you put on your little gold things and your silver things, and you just make it all look very much like a magazine.
Monochromatic is what you're describing.
There are pops of color, because sometimes you go back through with a little red here and there.
Do you have ornaments from your childhood that you hang on it?
Yes, but I haven't used them in several years because I haven't been inspired to put a tree inside of my apartment. It's a lot of effort. But yes, I still have my Star Trek Hallmark ornaments.
Oh boy, do you have any of like the ones that are like made out of cardboard and macaroni that have you like your picture when you're like third grade on them?
My mom has those.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll eventually be like, "You need to take these because you'll want them for your family," and I'll be like, "But I don't want to have any children because I hate children." But
you could show them to your pet pug or French bulldog when you end up living in a place that allows pets.
Yes, yes. Lofty goals. What about you, Dan? Do you have your childhood ornaments that you're going to show off to your offspring?
We have some. There's also, you know, various I don't know, decorations, porcelain type things that you put around the room that are also quite old. We also have
Do you have those like crummy little houses and stuff that are made out of like ceramic?
I mean, kind of. I mean, we have a ceramic nativity scene that my grandma made and painted like 40 years ago or something. I don't know why we put it up aside from tradition, because it's not like we're Catholic or really. So,
Nothing tipped me off. My mom has all of the various tchotchkes that were handed down through the generations, and one of them is like a ceramic mini Christmas tree. Like,
oh yeah, there's totally a couple of those in the nativity scene.
Yeah, so it's like ceramic, but then it has like little glass light bulb shaped things, and there's like one light bulb in the base of it that shines out of it.
It's like a 2 foot tall thing. It comes in like two or three sections.
Oh, it's not even that big. It's only maybe a foot at most.
Mm.
It's teeny tiny.
Had something similar to that. That you have the light bulb in there and the little plastic things, and yeah. But our Christmas tree has a lot of like you know, people will like make an ornament and like hand them out to people. That's Amanda's work, not mine. So it's all like, hey, you know, Dan and Amanda, 2015, here's an ornament or something. And it's like, oh, cool. So there's that. And then there's, you know, there's, of course, the sports themed ornaments that people give you and stuff. So it's also a hodgepodge of family and friend love on our Christmas tree.
I have never received a sports themed ornament, but please.
You should live in a red state.
Oh, man. Well, I did. I lived in Florida. I mean, yeah. Florida's going back and forth. It all comes down to Florida. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it.
Mrs. Hillary Clinton is here at the moment at Arizona State University.
Yeah, Yasmin Evgen,
is she at the thing?
Yeah, she's on a Material podcast on Relay FM, and mm-hmm. I talked to her because she's cool. And we were on the Stranger Things podcast together, and she was tweeting photos of waiting in line to go to the thing. She's excited. Yeah.
There's a couple photos I saw. It looked like a very big turnout in Arizona. I think we may officially, depends on if you trust polls or not, but I think we're officially blue now, which is like weird because, I mean, I guess it happened in, mid-90s there. So it's happened before, but it's like, you know.
For the Clinton administration previously?
The first one.
Yeah. So
first time.
This is the theme. But let's move off of politics because it's deeply depressing, and God knows when this episode will be released, what the results will be. Oh, terror. But
baseball.
Yeah, how did that go? This was the seventh one because it's a tiebreaker because there were 3-3 or whatever.
It's the World Series. They play a series of seven games. Cleveland had won 3 out of the first 4 games. So they only needed one more, and then they proceeded to lose 4 in a row. In this game, it went all the way down to the end, back and forth, and they tied it up, and they had to go into extra innings, and then it rained, so they paused for a while, and then they came back, and the Cubs went up by 2, and then Cleveland had a chance to come back, and they got 1, and then it ended, and the Cubs won by 1.
Well.
It was a great baseball game. I don't even watch baseball that often because as a person who is from Ohio and a family that is all from Ohio, I have been conditioned to not get invested or interested in sports because you're only going to be let down. Again, this outcome is everything I've ever come to expect from any sort of Ohio, you know, sports team.
That the Ohio team would lose.
Oh, absolutely. They have a great history and tradition of getting very close, giving everyone lots of hope, and then just like just pooping everywhere.
Oh. Yeah, I'm from Tampa, Florida, and people there are very excited about the sports that are available to them, mostly being the Bucks and the Tampa Bay Rays, formerly the Devil Rays, but they had to change the name because it offended mm-hmm. some people.
I went to a Devil Rays game where Wade Boggs hit his 3,000th hit. I was there in Florida.
At Tropicana Field?
Is that what it's called?
In St. Pete?
I don't know where it is. It's the big indoor thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt like it was in a giant mall.
It basically is. It is. It's Tropicana Field. Well, I don't think it's called Tropicana Field anymore because you know how sometimes people buy things and they put their names on them, even though it used to have another name?
Considering that Phoenix is the home of the jobbing.com or University of Phoenix Stadium.
What?
I think our hockey arena is still called the jobbing.com and the football stadium is the University of Phoenix Stadium.
I almost spit at Chuck Avesa.
I can't remember what our baseball field is now. It was Chase, but it's not Chase anymore. Our basketball arena was America West Arena. Then it was U.S. Airways. No, now the basketball arena is Talking Stick Casino Arena or something. I don't know. It's the worst.
Wow. Anyway, so whatever.
I wonder what companies have money in Arizona. It's the casinos and the fake colleges.
Yeah. And oddly enough, I think the newspaper owns everything, but I have to double check on that. Because it used to be Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. And I've been to a couple of Rays games because you could go when the Rays were not doing very well because they basically like nearly pay for you to go because they could not get people to go inside of the thing and sit there through the Rays losing. But
We were there on vacation. I don't know why we chose to go to a game. It was probably they gave them to us for free at our hotel front desk or something.
Why were you on vacation in St. Petersburg? You never brought this up before.
Oh, we were in Clearwater.
Yes. Why were you in Clearwater?
Because my dad felt like going to Florida.
Oh man, Clearwater is gross. It's like
strange things when they split.
Yeah, it's like Arizona by the sea.
That's probably what attracted him to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a hotel. We rode some jet skis. He fell off and freaked out for a minute because he can't swim, but he floated, so it was all right.
Yeah, that's why they gave you the vest. But I've done the sea doos. I've done that before. I've sea done it.
Yeah. It's good. We have some dirty, muddy lakes here that people ride jet skis and boats around in.
Ew. Gross. But, did you do anything fun when you were in? You've never told me you went to the Tampa Bay area.
I don't know. This was 1999, 2000 or something. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We went to Florida. We stayed at a hotel. We rode some jet skis. We saw a baseball game and ate some seafood. And then we left.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. It's Florida. It's fine.
What was the hotel you stayed in Clearwater? Was it Shepherd?
It wasn't like interesting or nice or anything, as far as I'm aware. It was near some water. It was very near some water.
Well, that is probably very true because it's Clearwater. My dad used to take us to the breakfast buffet at Shepherd's because he was really big on breakfast buffets. I never quite figured this out, but We would go for breakfast buffets because of the value of them or whatever. But honestly,
at what age? Him, not you. Was he in his 70s?
No. I mean, he's not that. He was not old enough that this should have been an attractive proposition for him.
Okay, fair enough.
But we would go to the breakfast buffets, and he liked the one at Shepherd's and the one at the Marriott in Tampa by the airport, which is just baffling to me. But, you know, you got your omelet station, you got your honeydew melon, all that stuff. your shepherds even had like a grapefruit thing. You get half a grapefruit if you were so inclined.
Put sugar on a grapefruit.
You are supposed to, I believe, and you use the special grapefruit spoon that's like serrated. I find grapefruit.
Call that a spork.
No. It's not pointy like a spork. It's just like a, you know, like a serrated knife,
mm-hmm.
but like just around the round part of the spoon.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you just sort of like drop it down and then pull the segment of the citrus fruit out of it.
Sure.
Yeah, grapefruit's disgusting. Don't eat it.
I agree.
But glad we finally got around to the great grapefruit controversy of Defocus.
If it's one thing this podcast can agree on, it's that grapefruit is terrible.
Yeah. It's not grape.
Mm-hmm.
So, where were we?
We were in Florida for some reason.
Yeah. Gotta win Florida.
Let's see, 40 minutes in. We usually do about an hour show. That leaves just under 20 minutes to talk about the movie. You want to get to the movie?
I really don't have anything to say about it. I watched the beginning of it, and I was like, okay, so maybe they just hired people that weren't actually like actors or something. And
that is partially true. A lot of these people, this is some of their first stuff.
Yeah, like there are some actors in here who I recognize.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are a lot of actors in here who are just like, I've never seen you after this, and you're not doing anything really amazing right now. You're just kind of mumbling.
I had the revelation that Slater, Rory Cochrane, the stoner kid, was in Argo and a bunch of other stuff like recently. But once you take that hat and the hair off of him and put like a mustache and a beard on him, it's like, oh yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, some of them have been in lots of things. Like, of course, as you had mentioned, Parker Posey. Renee Zellweger is in here briefly.
Joey Lauren Adams, you mean?
I thought there was Renee Zellweger uncredited or something on IMDb as girl with blue pickup truck at the beginning.
I don't know, but I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay, whatever. Scrolling, anyway, there's somebody scrolling. Who looks like Renee Zellweger in this movie.
Oh, look at that. Girl in blue pickup truck uncredited. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like Renee Zellweger to me. So, there you go. Bridget Jones. So, this movie did not pull me in. And then I also couldn't tell who I was supposed to be caring about because of how they kept...
It's an ensemble cast.
It wasn't ensembling for me. It just kept going back and forth between these different... groups of people, and they're all talking about like these really mundane things. Like it's a slice of their lives, but it is boring to me. And I understand why this might be compelling to someone who, especially somebody who wants to think about or relive their high school experiences. But I hated high school, so there's nothing compelling about this for me in particular. And there's also the added fact that there's a lot of this that comes down to like bullying and weird click stuff and drugs and parties at houses and like these were circles that I did not travel in. So,
well, for one, I don't think this movie particularly paints high school or the surrounding scenarios in a positive light. It just tries to paint them in a realistic light. But the thing that I find fascinating about it is the way it sort of intermingles the folks from the different cliques, and they're all kind of sort of friendly with each other to a certain extent, and people are in more than one, and just the way they all intermix, it feels like a really real community of people who know each other and have grown up together in this small Texas town somewhere. Apparently, I don't think they ever say exactly what place in Texas this is supposed to be, but you know, last day of school, 1976, and it, you know, a lot of it is very unrelatable with regard to like the hazing of the incoming freshmen and stuff. Like that's the kind of stuff that would get you thrown in jail in our day. But it's amusing to watch, and it's funny, and you know, the characters are amusing, and of course you watch it for the soundtrack because it's the 70s and there's good music in this and there's pretty looking cars and stuff.
The soundtrack actually kind of started to annoy me a little bit.
of course it did.
Well, no, it's just that it's used as set dressing more than it is used. No. You don't understand my criticism. I'm saying it's not used in the context of what's happening in the film. It's just used as something to say, oh, hey, look, we're in the 70s. And that bothers me at a certain point when you're going to basically like a clip of a song every minute. There's a segment where they're like traveling around in the cars, and every time they get into a car, it's a different song, and then the car travels for a while, so they switch the song. But it's not been that long, like for you on the couch watching the film, it's been a minute. And so they cycle through these things so quickly, and you're going through genre to genre, and it's not like they're listening to it's not supposed to be like a radio station, because it goes with them into like the bowling alley area. I'm sorry, not bowling alley. The pool.
The Emporium, you think?
Yeah, the pool bar area, and like it's odd. It really started to distract me a little bit, because I kept thinking like, do these songs say anything about what I'm watching? Or are they just songs that are supposed to be like, hey, 70s, hey, 70s, hey, 70s? And it bugged me.
I mean, part of it is like, you know, tongue-in-cheek, like Alice Cooper School's Out when they're literally getting out of school. But, you know, most of it, yeah, it is backdrop for the mundanity of their life. It's, you know, the 70s. This is ostensibly the musical culture that was surrounding them at the time. And, you know, yeah, a lot of their life is... The stuff they're discussing is very small and boring and whatever, but it's these people that we ostensibly care about and are interested in.
I think you assumed a lot when you said care about and are interested in.
You don't care about Jason Lennon's character's struggle with regard to the oppression of his football coach and playing sports on his own terms versus being.
Having to sign
a document that says he's not going to have any fun ever.
That struggle, while it might have been real for someone, it might be something that people deeply identify with, just like could not have fell any flatter for me. But
you didn't even get to Adam Goldberg and his struggles at the end there with the bully guy.
No, because I completely gave up at that point. But I like the part where he says he wants to dance when they're in the car.
You should keep watching this at some point and just finish it up just in small bits and pieces, because as you pointed out, there's really no need to watch it all in one sitting as long as you see all of it.
Yeah, it's oddly... Like, I understand. It is acclaimed. Lots of people like it. It evokes emotions and responses in other human beings. But for me, personally, on a personal level... It just like bounced off. it did nothing.
It is funny situations and amusing characters and a lot of memorable lines that I think are funny.
I like the part where they poured paint on Ben Affleck because he was just a one-dimensional jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He flunked, so he's a second-year senior, and he's really excited to run around hitting freshmen in the butt with a wooden paddle.
Yeah, it just doesn't resonate for me. But I mean,
if you don't like the cars or the music, or you can't really buy into sort of just the general hanging outness plot, or watching these people that you've seen 20, 30 years later do acting things as small children, then yeah, there's not much draw for you. But I still think it's a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dispute that. It just did nothing. And that's why I have so little to say about it. I'm so disappointed too, because Dazed and Confused had been talked up to a great degree. I just never got around to it for whatever reason. And then I got around to it for this, because we were going to watch The Nice Guys. And I can't remember how the topic came up, but it was something like, oh, you should watch this before you watch that, or...
Well, you said you wanted to watch it first. I just said it's also on Netflix if you wanted to stay 70s themed, and I think you should watch it at some point in general anyway.
That's what it was. You said stay 70s themed, and I was like, oh, well, I should probably watch the one that's more like the 70s or something that might have influenced decisions made in The Nice Guys first, and then that was a mistake. And maybe I should just watch Nice Guys.
One takes place in a small town in Texas, and one takes place in Los Angeles, so they're probably not super related. But
no,
you know.
I imagine they're not about like high school, but yeah.
Anyway, it's an enjoyable flick. I don't want to. My hesitation is to go Lebowski and go, oh, you haven't watched it 30 times, so you don't appreciate all of the minutiae about it. And I think this is one of those things that the more you watch, the more you will enjoy it and find small pieces to pull out that are amusing to you, as everyone sort of does. But you know, that's not like a thing that I can tell you to do or request that you do. But like, you know, this was even on TV 2 days ago, and I caught the last like 20 minutes, and I watched it all on TV, even though I knew I was going to watch it again today. It was just like, I enjoy just like being in the moment of this movie, just like the scenes of this movie, and just hanging out. And yeah, you miss most of the party at the Moon Tower at the end there, which is, you know, sort of the physical coming together of all of these cliques at the same time, and how that sort of, I mean, it's probably anticlimactic in terms of an overall movie plot, because there's not like, we're not connecting threads like this is some sort of Star Wars movie or something, but it's a good scene that connects the dots. And then at the end we have our resolution with Pink, Mr. Jason London's character. And of course, I'm sure, as you can tell, he refuses to sign the thing and throws it at his coach. And then
Shocked.
They all take off down the highway to go get Aerosmith tickets while Slow Ride plays, and Wiley Wiggins, who plays Mitch, who has the best real name of any human being ever, puts on headphones and falls asleep.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Because he stayed out all night because, you know, he's partying with the seniors now.
Mm-hmm.
Wiley Wiggins.
It's a good name.
It's a fantastic name. Although my favorite thing about him is the way he poorly acts frustration, where he does that thing where he grabs the very top of the bridge of his nose when he's pretending to be frustrated.
Yeah. Nothing he did in terms of acting was really like wowing me in this.
He played pretty convincingly getting hit in the butt with a piece of wood a bunch of times.
Yeah, but the scene outside of the pool bar area where he's talking to What's-Her-Face, who got hazed in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both like, oh, yeah, you know, stuff. Oh, yeah, stuff. And then he's like brushing the hair back behind his ears and stuff and just like, yeah, stuff, and nodding. And it's just like, oh, my God. Tedious.
Actually, I think what my favorite character in the movie might be Melvin, because, A, his name is Melvin, and he's just super awesome nice.
Yeah. Which one's Melvin?
I believe he's the only black character in the movie.
Oh. No, he's not. There's just the teacher. Who talked about the, you know, 50 of you are going to go into the jungle and only 25.
Oh, the middle school teacher, right, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise,
remember when teachers wore bow ties?
Not a terribly diverse cast, so.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Texas.
But the, there was a, another oddity at the beginning of the film, and that was the overalls, and I was just like, oh, God. I'm gonna wear that the whole movie, but
you didn't like what's his name? I forget what that guy's name is. Sasha Jensen.
Yeah, I totally blanking on his name too. But yeah, it was weird. I was just watching him in the overalls for that, like, whatever it was, first 30 minutes, and it was just like, oh my God, stop it, stop it! I can't take it anymore. And I liked the younger hippie teacher that they had, who, you know, was warning the class, you know, remember as you celebrate the bicentennial, that what this country is founded on. And it was just like, yeah, that's a vibe I can get behind. but you know, there wasn't much of her because she was just in that seat. But that would have been a more interesting movie.
I think if anything else, the most fascinating thing about this movie is just how lax. I mean, again, I'm sure a lot of this is manifestation for the film, but like how just lax the environment was. Like, school is not like a strict place where you have to sit there and you're being dictated to, even if it is like the last day. Like, people are wandering around the halls, in and out, they're driving around, there's like the car chase where they're chasing the freshman in the car with the truck is actually like honestly a pretty good car chase, all things considered.
I didn't like the beginning of that car chase where we cut from that profile shot of him getting in the car to the cars having already sped for a few frames because there's dust trails behind them. I didn't land and appreciate that. It didn't line up right.
But well, they're all muscle cars from the 70s, so they haul pretty quick.
Yes. It came pre-hauled. but the...
You know, like the public drinking, the young kids being able to buy beer at the store, just like everyone taking kegs to a park and stuff and just having like a high school party and like getting busted by the cops, breaking into a school drunk in the middle of the night. Like, yeah, all of these things are things that are never going to happen ever again, which I think is amusing.
I like the liquor store scene where he's talking to the guy about his government job.
Yeah. He's just pretending, just reiterating everything he heard from McConaughey.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. And there were some other moments, like when there's that car full of girls who pull up for some reason. So that was something they did. And they're all like, what are you guys doing to that guy? You should stop doing that. And then he's just like pops open the trunk and it's full of beers. And he's just like offering them up as like some sort of a bribe. And then they're like, yeah, whatever. And then they speed off out of there afterwards after they got their beer. And it's just like, oh, this is such a strange movie. But
it's definitely got a vibe that takes a little while to get. But yeah, once you're like into the groove, if you're in kind of like a low-key hangout mood, it works well, and it's enjoyable to just hang out with these characters.
Maybe I was just too tense.
It's possible. I know you were very worried about the baseball game.
I was just biting my nails. You know, God only knows when they were going to move those goalposts past the rundown.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Let's talk about the McConaughey in the room. Did you enjoy him at all, or was it like I predicted that, seeing the cultural references throughout the years referencing this character, did they ruin the origin of it for you?
I wouldn't say it ruined it, but I mean, I had always assumed that the things we associate with McConaughey, the McConaughey-isms, if you will, were just part of him. I did not know that they originated inside of the performance he had inside of Dazed and Confused. So when I was watching Dazed and Confused and I saw some of the things, like, all right, all right, all right, and it's just like, oh, the character said that. So
I forget, did you get to the scene where he hits on the redhead at the drive-in food place?
No, that was the redhead friend who was with
Adam Goldberg.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I gave up.
He does it again there. There's some good McConaughey in the end half of the movie, so you might have to watch it just for that, if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, he did not offend me. He just didn't.
No, he's possibly the best character in the whole. I mean, he's creepy. You did get his famous line, right? That's what I love about high school girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
That I almost nearly forgot until you said that again, and I was just like, I remember when I watched that and I heard him say that line. Also, the way he says it, if you listen to like the tone of his voice and like the way he like draws that out as he delivers the line, it's just like, ugh.
And it's great because everyone behind him sort of like gives a look. And I think somebody even says, Wooderson, you're going to get arrested one of these days. And he's kind of laughing at himself too. So it's not like you can tell he's not like full serious, but like he's very much just like, you know, he has nowhere to go and nothing to do with his life. So he's just working, maybe going back to JC junior college, cause that's where all the girls are. But like he's perfectly okay with what he is up to these days, kicking it at the Emporium with his boys and talking about hot rods and just playing pool and stuff. And it's just like, amen, brother. You're a phenomenal character here.
Yeah. Also, he said positrack, and that made me think of positraction, which made me think of my cousin Vinny. So,
yeah, that's
that was a brief respite for my mind.
We'll get to my cousin Vinny at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we didn't talk about that one, did we?
No. Well, I mean, we've brought up maybe doing it at some point. I have it on DVD. But we haven't gotten to My Cousin Vinny. But we should perhaps do Nice Guys next, because I have that rental that's going to expire from when I did that 99-cent rental.
We'll definitely do that next. But I loved Cole Hauser in this, the Benny, the jockey dude who drives the truck. I think he is perfect for that role, and I think this role probably set forth a lot of the roles that he has done for the rest of his life because he was so good at it.
Blanking on who that was. He
drives the truck. He's got the hat. We first saw him drilling holes in his paddle, like in the very beginning of the movie, next to the drill press that said "Wear your goggles" when he had his goggles on top of his head.
Was he the guy with the curly red hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I remember him.
He's been in a lot of stuff since then. He plays a very good jerk.
Yes, he did that.
There's a great scene later when he at the party at the Moon Tower where he gets drunk and he tries to stand up and he just sort of like wobbles a little bit and then sits back down in his little like lawn chair in the back of his truck. And every time I see that, it's like, it's perfect. Like drunk jockey dude guy acting of like, oop, I better sit down before anybody sees how stupidly drunk I am.
Mm.
It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You got the brief. How old was Mila Jovovich in this movie? Like 14?
I don't know.
Let's see.
I really don't keep tabs on Mila Jovovich's age. But
she was born in 1975, so she would have been 28.
Yeah. There were several...
18. God, I can't do math. Right? No.
No.
Yeah. 18.
Okay.
1993.
You all right, Dan?
No. It's very hot in this room.
Okay. It's part of our hazing process.
Yeah, of course it is. Did you happen to notice the curly redheaded driver in the car with Adam Goldberg? I didn't realize until today is Giovanni Ribisi's sister.
Oh, I saw Ribisi listed in the IMDb when I breezed through, but the first name didn't stick out as anything noteworthy to me.
Yeah. I didn't notice that until today, but it makes a lot of sense because there's a picture of them standing side by side in IMDb.
Ah, well, mystery solved. But yeah,
there's so many people.
We should probably just wrap this up for the movie since I literally ran out of everything to say about it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you love it, and it's good, and lots of people say it's good. And if people tell me that they can't believe that I don't like it, trust me, there are movies that I don't like that you would also not believe that I don't like. Because there's Shawshank Redemption, there's Citizen Kane. I could just go on all day about all kinds of acclaimed things that I don't like sitting through. But
totally fine. I don't care if you do it in 5-minute chunks. Just promise me you'll watch the rest of the movie at some point.
Okay, okay. As long as it is on Netflix, I will watch the rest of this movie.
Okay, just give it like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Every time the camera cuts, you can turn it off and come back a couple days later.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, Dazed and Confused. Mm-hmm.
So when are you going to finish watching Dune?
Right. Dune.
Yeah. Desert Planet.
Yeah, the spice
you,
thing.
You own it on iTunes, so it can't have expired.
Yeah,
it'll
iTunes
resume.
Library has been really messed up lately. It's something that is totally plausible.
What you got to do is go, you're breaking up. You got to do that. You got to do one of those.
That was pretty good. Skype is
breaking up.
No. Skype breaks up more like that, actually.
Yeah, that's true. I was doing like 1920s radio broadcast. Maybe just like, boop, 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 boop. I'm breaking boop, boop, boop up, you know, Morse code. Maybe we can go back a little further. Anyway, so you can watch it on your third gen Apple TV and it'll resume from where you last watched it.
One can only hope.
Dune, Desert Planet.
Definitely don't
need
to start from the beginning again because I definitely remember what was happening.
Oh, totally. Speaking of Apple devices, one last time, one interesting thing was that when I went to go resume playback of the movie tonight, I resumed it on my Apple TV box, and it started playing, and then it started buffering, and then it wasn't coming back. And I was like, I'm on a timetable here, guys. Gotta not do that to me. And so it wasn't playing. It wasn't refreshing. Just a little spinner. And I was just like, F this noise. And I switched over to my Firebox. My Fire Stick. And I went to Netflix, played the same thing, and it worked. And so I don't know why the stream was not working on my Apple TV and it was working on my Fire Stick, but I'm going to blame ADQ.
So, yeah, Apple hasn't paid Netflix enough to get the high bandwidth streaming thing through Comcast or whatever.
No, I just I don't know what it is. But at least I have two horrible little Netflix boxes. And if I really had to resort to it, my Samsung, I could connect to Wi-Fi again, which I've intentionally disconnected because of the bad firmware update I got one time.
No, don't do that. That's horrible. Yeah. Didn't it turn itself off randomly?
Yeah, it got a firmware update that caused it to shut down every 3 minutes, and that was not productive for my television watching experience. So I reset to factory settings, and then I never reconnected the Wi-Fi settings ever again.
Solid choice.
Mm-hmm.
Move Up's mentioning the Dune documentary thing just reminded me of the other thing. Did you ever watch what the hell is it called? The movie about Superman with Nick Cage, the documentary about the death of the death of Superman Lives. That's what it's called.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it. That the all about the Kevin Smith and the Tim Burton and all that.
Yeah, that was on HBO or Stars or something this past couple days. I watched that, and good Lord, they have a lot of behind the scenes footage of like the costume try-ons and stuff, and like that producer fella, what the hell's his name, John Peters or something. That dude is off his nut. Like, that guy is crazy, and they even got Burton in there to talk a little bit about it. He seemed mostly depressed, but it is an interesting story, and you know, it's got all the Kevin Smith anyone could ever want talking about it, but it's surprisingly fascinating. Like, I don't give a crap about that movie, but it was very interesting.
Interesting.
Anyway, we can stop now. It's all the movie related / follow up related things I can possibly think of.
And scene.
Right off into, not even really the sunset. It's just like a really overcast day when they ride off down the highway to go get Aerosmith tickets. What is this, 121?
Yep.
Good gracious.